Well, let's pray and open our heart to God's word. Father, we're just thankful this morning for your blessing upon us, Lord, your presence here in this place. Lord, how wonderful to know that we can come and gather in your name and that you are here in our midst. I pray, Father, that today that you help me. I ask you, Lord, that you would speak through me today. Lord, that in some way that lives would be changed by the word of the living God. I pray, Father, that we will be hearers this morning, but also doers. And God, that you be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, we are going to begin a new series just simply titled, Praying Effectively. I knew y'all were going to shout me down. I knew you would be excited. But the truth is that every Christian, every sincere Christian, wants to pray effectively. And I want you to know, I'm not talking about some complicated thing, you know, where we got to learn these special techniques. And listen, it's not like that. Prayer is simple, but there are principles of Scripture that help us understand prayer and help us be more effective in prayer. And let me tell you the number one reason why people don't pray or they don't pray more, it is because they don't think it will make a difference. If we really believe that our prayers are effective, then we'll pray more. And so I know that this series is really needed in the body of Christ today. Prayer is one of the things that there has been a devaluation of in the last few years in religious culture in America. But prayer has just kind of become a sideline and a side issue. And, you know, the quickest way to get people not to show up is to call a prayer meeting. And, we have casseroles and people will be there, but you call a prayer meeting, well, you know, we need this church. Because what Christian would not pray if they thought that their prayer was really going to make a difference? Well, last week we just wrapped up a series called Believe. And if you believe, you will pray. Prayer is one of the first expressions of faith. Because if we really believe, then we're going to talk to God. We're going to talk to God about the things that concern us, the things that make us anxious, the needs in our lives, and the needs in our world. Prayer is the difference many times between victory and failure. It's the difference between peace and turmoil. Prayer's the difference between somebody being set free and living in bondage. Remember when Jesus said, this kind comes out only by prayer and fasting. I'm telling you, there's sometimes the only way is going to be by prayer. That's the only way. Prayer's the difference between unity and strife. So many times in church, there's strife. But if we pray, it's amazing how the Lord can deal with hearts. And how much more is that true in our families where there's strife if we pray? See, prayer can make such a difference. It makes the difference in going down the wrong path or the right path. He offers to us His wisdom if we will ask. He gives it freely. Prayer is the difference. Prayer is the difference between dead religion and having a real relationship with God. It's the difference in the right doors being opened and going through the wrong door. Prayer's the difference between your children serving God or not. I really believe that. Prayer's what makes the difference. All of the things that we would desire to do and to accomplish, I'm telling you, prayer is the most powerful thing that we will ever do. You might think, oh no, I'm going to do this great thing for the Lord. I'm going to be used of God to do this or to do that. Well, you ain't going to do nothing without prayer. It all starts with prayer. If we don't abide in Him, Jesus says, apart from Him, we can do nothing. And I'm just telling you, we can't leave the prayer out. We need more of it. We need to learn how to be more effective in our prayer, and we need to know that when we pray, it matters, that it makes a difference. You know, sometimes people fall into a rut, I know, where they're just praying out of some kind of religious duty, you know, just a ritual. Well, we're supposed to pray, so I'm going to try to pray. And maybe you've been there where you decide you're going to pray, and you prayed about everything you could possibly think of in 3 minutes. You know, you did that prayer where you say, Lord, save everybody. Lord, bless everybody. Lord, help everybody. Amen. Don't know what else to pray for, but then you pick up the phone and you got lots to talk about, complain about, and tell people about. You get on social media and tell everybody everything that's wrong with the world. And I'm not telling you should complain to God. You certainly should not. But I'm telling you, He's where we take those issues. He's where we make our supplication, our request, our petitions. He's the one that can actually do something about it. He has the power. Yeah. It's funny how sometimes people will say, well, I would like to pray more, but I just don't have the time. Like, our responsibilities are so great that we just can't slow down enough to pray. It's really strange that Jesus didn't seem to understand that. Because all He had to do was save the world, and yet He found time to pray. He made time to pray. If He had to go out early in the morning while it was still dark, I know some of you are thinking, I rebuke that. I'm just telling you, Jesus found time to pray because His task was so great, He had to pray. And you might think that your responsibilities are great, then that's all the more reason you need to be praying. Because what a difference it makes when we pray, when God is helping us. We're not just trying to do things in our own strength, our own human wisdom, but rather with God's help. You know, the Apostle Paul understood that. He was a man who was so driven by the call of God. He says, I worked harder than them all, bragging about not his own strength, but bragging about the grace of God, he said, that worked in him. And yet, this hardworking man always found time to pray. He talked about the concern of the churches that was upon him daily. That's why he prayed all the time. He was always praying for the church. And I'm just telling you that none of us is too busy for prayer. It's a lie, it's a deception, it's a trick of Satan to keep you from the most powerful thing you could ever do, which is to pray and ask for God's help in that situation, whatever it might be. If all else fails, well, we'll pray. I'm telling you, prayer needs to be a part of our life every day, even when it seems like things are going right. Oh, how we need to be praying. Praying for other people, interceding for others, praying about our nation, always praying. I know we get discouraged sometimes when we've prayed and asked and prayed and asked and it seemed like nothing was happening. You notice I said it seemed like, because many times God is working behind the scenes and His timetable is seldom the same as mine, but He is working. And prayer does work. God answers prayer. And we need to refuse to give up, but always pray. Jesus tells a parable in Luke chapter 18. It's called the parable of the persistent widow. It is about a widow who goes to an ungodly, unfair judge. He has no fear of God and no regard for man. But she goes to this judge seeking justice, and she goes to him again and again and again, and he grants her request. He gives her justice, not because he fears God, but because he doesn't want this woman to just wear him out. And Jesus tells us that how much more will our Heavenly Father speedily grant us justice. He is not an unjust judge. No, he's the judge of all the earth, and he always does right, and he loves us. But before Jesus tells the parable, Luke chapter 18 and verse 1 tells us Jesus' intent of the parable. This is what it says. It says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." They should always pray and not give up. Now I want you to hear this one more time. They should always pray. This was not written for the disciples. This was written decades after the story happened. It's written in the Word of God for us that we should always pray. Say, always pray. Always pray. We should always pray. Always pray. Not just when, you know, the Spirit hits you and, you know, you hear that special song you like and it gets you in the mood and you feel something. No, always pray. Not just when things are falling apart. Always pray. Always pray. We need a return to that, church, that we are a praying people, that we know that God is the answer, that He is what we need, and the way to get His help, the way to get Him to intervene is through prayer. And it works. Jesus wouldn't say, always pray, if it didn't work. See, Jesus was never about vain religion. There's nothing anywhere in the ministry, the teaching of Jesus, about vain ritual religion. Now, I know that people have taken things like the Lord's Prayer and turned it into that, but that is not the way it was taught, and that is never what Jesus intended. Jesus has nothing to do with vain ritual religion. And when He says always pray, it is not just some ritual. It is the most powerful thing you will ever do to invite God's power, His help, into your life and into our world. One of the biggest reasons that believers don't think that their prayers make a difference is false doctrine. And there have been a few false doctrines in our generation that have done much harm to the body of Christ. And they need to be addressed. They need to be called out for what they are. And one of those false doctrines that has hindered people from praying is this philosophy, this teaching of the world, that God is going to do what He wants to do regardless of what we do. Doesn't matter if we pray, God's going to do what He wants to do anyway. Everything that happens, therefore, is God's will. And the end result of that philosophy and that attitude is that every evil thing, every terrible thing, every bad thing, all of the awful things going on in our world somehow is the will of God. And they blame God. People even get mad at God and bitter at God and hate God because all of this is God's will. God did all of this. And it doesn't matter if we pray because God's going to do what He wants to do. And they do all of this and they stamp some religious words on it and call it the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. He does whatever He wants and this is what He wants. Let me tell you, the Bible says very plainly that God does whatever He pleases. And He is pleased to work through faith. Amen. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith it's impossible to please Him. You see, the sovereign ruler of the universe has chosen to work through faith and through the prayers of His people. Sovereignty. God being sovereign means supreme ruler. It does not mean he ignores the prayers of his people. That's not in the Bible. That attitude, that concept, that God just ignores the prayers of his people. The only time I see that God ignores someone's prayer, he says, if you regard iniquity in your heart. In other words, you're holding iniquity in your heart, you refuse to confess your sin to God. He says, if you regard iniquity in your heart, I'll not hear your prayer. But otherwise, God hears our prayer. He is moved by our prayer. He cares about the things that we care about. And when we pray, it makes a difference. The sovereign, the supreme ruler of the universe, hears our requests. What an awesome thing that we are allowed to come to him with our needs, with our burdens, with the things that make us anxious, that we can pray and talk to him at any time. How wonderful. You know, they say the President of the United States is the most powerful man in the world. He has all the resources to help you, to change a situation. And a lot of people, how they would just love to be able to have 5 or 10 minutes with the president. Or if they could just present their plight, if they could just talk to the president about this situation, about this injustice, about what's going on here. Oh, they think that would be so wonderful. And how very small that is compared to being able to talk to the supreme ruler of the universe, who has all the resources, who can change anything, who can do anything. With God, all things are possible. That's the one we get to talk to. And how is it that the church has become so deceived that we no longer realize the potential and the value? How wonderful to be able to pray. I'm not preaching against these things. Don't misunderstand me. How we have allowed TV and entertainment and internet and 1,000 other things to fill up our lives and distract us from the privilege of prayer. How wonderful to be able to talk to God and to ask for his help. What does the scripture say about us praying? Is it just some religious ritual we perform and God does what he's going to do? You know, Jesus says that the Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask. But did you notice he didn't say you don't need to ask? He didn't say the Father knows the things you have need of, so don't even ask. That's not what he said, but that's what the religious world is saying. This religious culture, you don't even need to ask. God's going to do what he wants to do. No, you have to ask. In fact, he says it very plainly, Matthew 7:7-8. He says, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks, find. Everyone who knocks, the door is open. Listen, I've done some asking when it seemed like I didn't receive. Have you? But you know what? I believe the Word of God even when my experience doesn't line up with it. Because I don't know the beginning and the end. He does. And I have lived long enough to thank God that he didn't answer some of my prayers. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we ask amiss. We ask for the wrong things. We think it's right, but we ask for the wrong things. Or for the wrong reasons. But I know this, I know what Jesus said. He said, ask, everyone who asks receives. Well, why wouldn't we be asking if we believe what Jesus said? And we've all had those kind of situations, problems, things come up where we just, you know, for whatever reason, we were busy or whatever, we failed to take it to God in prayer. But I'm telling you, that opportunity for us, oh, we need to make a decision in our life that we're going to go to God every day. That every day we're going to pray about the things that we're facing. The issues, the problems, the things going on in our world. You get on the internet and Facebook and complain about politics and government and these people and these people, and everybody's divided, everybody's mad at everybody. Let me tell you, none of it is profitable. None of it. Listen, the wrath of man doesn't work the righteousness of God. What does make a difference is prayer. When we really pray, it's amazing how God shows us what we need to do. But you can't leave the prayer out. James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. And so this morning, I'm just giving you this one simple principle for effective prayer. You have to ask. I know that's too simple. But let me tell you, this is the biggest reason there are not more answered prayers, because nobody asked. And the scripture actually spells this out to us. You don't have because you're not asking. Such tremendous power that is wasted when we fail to pray. See, the one prayer that is almost never answered is the one that was not asked. You have to ask. Billy Graham said, heaven is full of answers to prayers for which no one ever bothered to ask. And the philosophy of the day is that if it's God's will, it'll just happen. Doesn't matter if we pray. But Jesus teaches us that we are to pray for God's will, not as a ritual. We don't just run through the Lord's Prayer mindlessly. No, He taught us to pray. He gave us a pattern for prayer. And He says to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have to invite the will of God. We have to pray for God to do His will. His will is not automatic. If God's will was being done here on earth as it is in heaven, then this world would look a whole lot more like heaven. We got to pray for the will of God to be done. I'm telling you, we can't bypass this church. We have to ask. We have to daily be praying, asking God to do His will, to change our world, to change lives, to change the situations. Why? Why doesn't God just fix everything? I mean, if I was God, that's what I would do. If God fixed everything in your life, in your world, if God just did everything that... so you didn't even ever have to pray. Let me tell you, the end result of that is that most of us would never even know Him. We would never even look to God. You have a financial need, or you need a new job, you need a raise at work, your child gets sick, and whatever happens, well, it just works out. Everything just comes together. God just took care of it. Did you know that a lot of those things happen for people every day in our world, and they think that they're just lucky? Or they think that they're just smart, or they just worked hard, I got what I got, the old-fashioned way, I earned it. Never acknowledging the Lord, never acknowledging God's blessing on their life, never thanking God for the health of their family. But when we come to the place where we humble ourselves before God and we say, God, I need your help. I can't do this on my own. I don't know what to do. Father, help me. We come to a place where we are relying upon Him, where we are trusting Him, where our faith is in Him. And He wants us to know Him that way. To know that He loves us, that He cares for us, that He is our provider, that He is our shepherd watching over us. He wants that intimacy with us where we day by day are looking to Him. And so we pray. And He has chosen to work this way. We have to ask. Brings us to that place of humility and faith and trust in God. So many great needs in our world, in our nation. There's this erosion of values and so little fear of the Lord and less and less real faith in God. And let me tell you what the greatest problem in our nation is. It is the lack of real prayer. I know this message may not be popular, but I know how much the church needs to be praying. We talk about that early church. Listen, they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. They went from house to house breaking bread, but they were also going from house to house praying. Prayer was so much a part of their church culture, and it needs to be more and more a part of our church culture. Here's a speech that a former president made many years ago. He said, "We've been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We've been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We've grown in numbers and wealth and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand that preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us." This was a speech made by Abraham Lincoln in 1863. And how much more proud, how much more self-sufficient, how much more arrogant has our country become to think that it is just our American ingenuity and strength, that it is just our own doing and our own making. And it's not just about our country, but you see those same attitudes in the lives of so many, and the lives of so many who even call themselves believers. And I'm telling you, that time in our nation, there came a brokenness. And why is it that too often, whether you look at the history of Israel, our own nation, or our own lives, that it has to become some desperate situation before people will really turn to God in prayer and really seek God with all their heart? But He's promised us that if we'll humble ourselves and pray, seek His face, turn from our wicked ways, that He'll heal our land. I'm telling you, prayer is where it starts. Prayer is what will change things. He never changes. But you know that God many times will change the course of action that He is about to take if someone will pray. One of those examples is found in Exodus 32, where God tells Moses, He says, I'm going to wipe them out and just start over with you. And Moses intercedes in Exodus 32 and 11. It says, Moses pleaded with the Lord his God. And in verse 14, he says, "So the Lord relented from the harm which He said He would do to His people." Because Moses prayed. Prayer makes a difference. Don't tell me that God ignores prayer. That's not in the Bible. Over and over, He listens to prayer. And when people intercede, when people are standing in the gap for others, it makes a difference. Listen to this from Ezekiel 22, 29 through 31. "The people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and needy. They wrongfully oppressed the strangers. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. but I found no one. He was looking for someone who would intercede, looking for someone who would stand before him, stand in the gap and pray. Therefore, I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. I have recompensed their deeds on their heads, says the Lord. And this is not an isolated incident. There are many times when God's people began to pray and some judgment that was coming was stayed. I'm just telling you that God listens to prayer. It makes a difference when we pray. Some of us here this morning, we know that we're alive, that we're here today because somebody prayed. Well, some of you, it's true, you just don't know it. Somebody's prayed for you. Somebody might have prayed you into church this morning, but prayer makes a difference. You wish that He would do something, but are you praying for His will to be done on earth? I'm telling you, prayer makes the difference in the church. We want to reach our generation. We want to fulfill that vision, and we know that what it takes is for God's people to go out into the harvest field. But you know what Jesus says about that? He says, pray the Lord of the harvest. How are we going to get it done? Prayer. See, you can't browbeat people into witnessing and ministering to the lost. But God can change their heart and give them a love and a compassion for people. God can put a fire inside of them that they want to reach people and help people. Pray, Jesus says, that the Lord of the harvest send laborers into the field. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And I'm not trying to discourage anybody, but the answer is not just calling in the harvest. We've got to pray laborers go get the harvest. That's what Jesus said to do. Laborers have to go, and the way that happens is by prayer. And I'm just telling you, prayer is what makes the difference. Without prayer, the preaching doesn't have any power. Pray for me. If you don't like the preaching, pray for me. Pray for me. You say, oh God, get us a good preacher. Well, you just pray the Lord changes this one. But I'm telling you, prayer makes a difference. You know, the world says, don't waste your right to vote. What a privilege you have to vote. Oh, it's such a terrible waste when people don't vote. Let me tell you what a terrible waste is when you don't pray. The potential, the power of prayer, the privilege that you're wasting when you don't pray. So you gotta pray, you gotta ask. Prayer changes things because the Almighty, the All-Powerful, moves when we pray. James chapter 5 tells us about a man who prayed effectively. We're gonna look at James 5, 16 through 18. James chapter 5, 16 through 18. I miss the pages of Bibles rustling. But I know you're looking it up on your iPhone as fast as you can, right? James 5, 16 through 18, it says the effective. That's what we're talking about, right? The effective, fervent prayer. Effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. That means it gets a lot done. It's powerful. It makes a difference. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. I want you to notice the first thing it tells us here is that he prayed. You got to ask. Now, this story happened at a time in the nation of Israel when they were just overtaken with wickedness. They had a wicked king named Ahab, And you probably heard of his wife before. I think she's even more famous than he was, Jezebel. Yeah, that name doesn't get much action nowadays for baby names, does it? It's kind of permanently ruined, but you get the idea of what we're looking at here. This was a wicked time in Israel when they not only didn't serve the Lord, but turned away from the Lord. They worshiped Baal. They worshiped a false god. These are God's people. What a terrible time it was. And I know that as we look at the time of our nation and things that are going on in our world right now, we think that it's just so impossible, so insurmountable to ever change it or see it fixed. But I'm telling you, this man brought revival by prayer. One man really praying. I'm telling you, God can change it. But you got to ask. We serve a mountain-moving God. It might seem impossible to you, but it's not impossible for God. So Elijah prayed. He asked, and his prayers changed the nation. We're going to go look at the story in the Old Testament of where this actually happened. In 1 Kings 16 and 30, Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all those who were before him. This was a bad guy. And then this praying man, Elijah, comes on the scene. 1 Kings 17 and verse 1, it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word.'" You see, this praying man, it's amazing what prayer will do to you. This praying man had the boldness to go stand before a wicked king and tell him, "It's not going to rain again until I say so." It's amazing what God may have you do if you become a praying man, a praying woman. You see, I'm not telling you today that we're not supposed to do anything. I'm just telling you that prayer has to be first. Because without God's power, we fail. But he prayed and the Lord moved. 1 Kings 18 and 1. We're just kind of skipping through here, but God tells Elijah it's time. "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, 'Go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth.'" Now, in chapter 18, I'm just going to tell this story. You can read it later. Most of you are familiar with it. But Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal, and he tells them, "We're going to build two altars with a sacrifice, and you call on your God, and then I'll call on my God. And the God that answers by fire, he's the true God." And the prophets of Baal yelled and screamed and cut themselves, and hours on end, and Elijah made fun of them, and yet nothing ever happened. You see, when people say that God doesn't listen to our prayer, they're talking about the wrong God. And Elijah had them pour water over his sacrifice again and again. And then he began to pray, and God answered by fire. All of the sacrifice was gone. All of the water was gone. And here was the end result. It's so powerful. We're talking about a nation that desperately needed revival. In verse 39 it says, "Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, 'The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God.'" I tell you, they had revival that day. How did it happen? This man prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And it set all of this up for this event when the people, their eyes would be open and they would turn back to God. That is praying effectively. Now, in 1 Kings 18:41, it says, "Then Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go up and eat and drink, for the sound of the abundance of rain.' And so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground, and he put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, 'Go up now and look toward the sea.' So he went up and looked, and he said, 'There is nothing.' And seven times he said, 'Go again.'" Seven times he told him, "Go back and look again." And on the seventh time that he went back, he said, "There's a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the water." So he said, "Go up and say to Ahab, 'Prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you.'" Elijah knew what God had said to him. He had a word from God. Hear me now. When you get a word from God, see, it's something that God just puts in your heart, maybe in your devotional time, or maybe you're hearing the preaching of God's word, and the Holy Spirit just puts a word in your heart. You get a word from God. Pray. Keep praying until it happens. We're in a battle. There's a spiritual warfare that's going on, and you have to pray and believe. God told him the rain was coming, but he prays, and he sends his servant to look, and he prays, and he sends his servant to look, and he prayed until it happened. Push. Pray until something happens. Pray. Don't give up, but keep on praying. What a victory came because a man prayed. What revival came. A nation was changed because a man prayed. I want you to stand with me. I'd like for our prayer partners to come. Father, I just thank you that you do care and that your ears are open to us. Oh, Father, forgive us for times when we have neglected this great privilege of coming to you in prayer. Father, I pray that today that there would be a fresh yearning and desire to know you, Lord, and to seek your face. I pray that today in the hearts of your people that there would be faith that would arise to cause us to turn to you and ask and to believe and expect. Oh, Father, I pray that this seed of the word today will bring forth a great harvest. Many, many changed lives. Oh, Father, that your will be done in this earth. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We read in the book of James, 16, chapter 5, 16 through 18. Let me just read to you a few verses before. I want you to just hear how often he talks about prayer. Is any among you suffering? You're going through a hard time? Listen, he says, let him pray. That's the answer. Let him pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. That's why we have leaders here at the front to pray with people. People that know how to pray. There's anointing oil. If you're sick, listen, they can anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith. And the Lord will raise you up, and if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I'm telling you, prayer is so powerful if we just ask. It's so much a part of the Scripture and how we're supposed to live. It's supposed to be part of our life every day as a believer, as a child of God. And this morning, if you're standing there and you don't really have a close relationship with the Lord, let me tell you how you change that. You ask. He loves you. Jesus says in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, that he stands at the door and knock, and if you'll hear his voice and open the door, that he'll come in and sup with you and you with him. He'll fellowship with you, but you got to open the door. You got to be willing to ask. Some of you here this morning, you just haven't really had a real prayer life. You need God to help you to change it. Ask, ask. Some of you are facing a desperate situation, a difficult challenge in your life. Maybe there's a problem with your family. Maybe it's a problem with your finances. Whatever it might be, let me tell you, ask, ask. Let somebody pray with you this morning, whatever your prayer need is. We're going to take just a few minutes right now just to worship the Lord, just to pray. And if you need prayer, you come. But even if you're not coming, I just want to encourage you, be worshiping, be praying. Amen. Let's just believe God that he'll move, that he'll work miracles, that he'll answer prayers this morning. Amen. Amen. Amen.